AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Ever get that feeling like you hear a story and it sticks with you? Kind of like a whisper you can't quite place.
Oh, absolutely. It's like almost familiar, but you can't put your finger on why.
Exactly. That's what we're diving into today, reincarnation. It's one of those mysteries, you know, hiding in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
We've got these accounts, these people who swear they've lived before, real cases, strange memories. And I got to say, looking at it all, it feels like huge, you know?
Yeah, it's like touching something ancient, something unfinished about what it means to be human.
Totally. And that's what I like about this deep dive. We're not here to prove anything, just explore. Find those sparks of intrigue in these stories. See where they lead us.
It's more about the questions than the answers, right?
Right.
I mean, think about it. Reincarnation, it pops up in so many cultures.
It really does.
It's this persistent idea, like a thread woven through human history.
And some of these individual cases, I mean, they're haunting.
They really are.
Like the story of Jonathan from Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan. Born in 47.
47. This kid, at 3 years old, starts talking about a medieval prison. And not like, you know, a cartoon version. He's giving specific details.
It's the details that get you. A cold chain, the feel of a stone wall, a gallows.
I mean, where does a three-year-old even get that kind of imagery? It's so vivid.
It's like he's not describing it, he's reliving it.
And there's this phrase he kept repeating.
They hanged me for telling the truth.
Yeah. Like heavy stuff for a little kid to be saying, right?
Like tense.
And naturally, his parents, they're thinking, okay, kid's imagination. You know, totally normal.
Right.
But then it gets weirder. He starts walking, like physically moving through the space.
Like he's navigating a room he knows.
This prison cell he's supposedly never seen. That's not just a dream, is it?
It's more like a memory in his body somehow.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that level of detail, the specificity, that gets a local historian interested.
The historian's not even like a believer in reincarnation or anything.
No, no.
But Jonathan's descriptions were so consistent, so precise. The historian felt like, okay, gotta look into this.
And what they find in the Yorkshire Abbey archives, man, it gives me chills just thinking about it.
I know.
Records from the 13th century.
About a monk executed for heresy.
Heresy. Because he claimed, get this, that angels don't take orders from humans.
Like, that's a wild claim to make back then.
Huge risk. But here's the kicker. The monk's last words, recorded all those centuries ago, they hanged me for telling the truth.
Jonathan's phrase.
Exactly. Word for word. And remember, Jonathan, never been to England. No connection. No way he could have known this.
It's like a crack in reality, isn't it?
It really is. Like, how do you explain that level of precise alignment? It messes with everything we think we know about memory, about knowledge.
It really does. You start to wonder, like, could there be some kind of information transfer we haven't discovered yet?
Right. Like, maybe memories can persist beyond a single lifetime. It's a wild thought.
It is. And then there's the ending to his story. Around 7 years old, the memories, they just stop.
Gone.
Mm-hmm.
Poof. It's like, in the account, it says, as if someone had silenced him again, which adds a whole other layer of, like, creepiness.
Absolutely. It's unsettling.
It leaves you with this sense of, like, there are echoes out there, fragments of something real, but we just can't grasp them fully.
It's a mystery.
Now, we have to acknowledge, right? Stories, imagination, they're a big part of how we make sense of this kind of stuff. You see it all the time. Fiction, online spaces, people love a good mystery.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's that fascination with the what if, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just for fun. Like, remember that inspector story that was going around on Instagram?
Yeah, the one with the, oh, that's right, it had a connection to our show, didn't it?
It did, yeah. It was a good example of how people use these concepts creatively.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing with the idea of past lives, but not necessarily saying this is true.
Right, right. Just exploring the possibilities.
Exactly.
And that's kind of our approach here, too.
Mm.
We're not trying to prove or disprove reincarnation.
No, no.
It's more about, like, embracing that sense of wonder, you know, that feeling that there might be more to the story than we currently understand.
I like to think of it as like a Mulder and Scully approach.
Oh, yeah. The X-Files.
Yeah, exactly. Open to the strange, the unexplained.
Totally. But with a healthy dose of skepticism, too.
Of course, of course.
It's about being willing to sit with the discomfort of not having all the answers, you know?
Yeah, I think that's really important. It makes us think outside the box.
Question our assumptions about consciousness, reality, the whole deal.
Exactly. And to be open to perspectives that might seem a little out there, right?
For sure. So let's go back to Jonathan for a second. Hmm. Beyond just the details of his case, what bigger questions does this push us towards? What do we make of it all?
Well, for me, the biggest thing is that link to actual history. It's not just a feeling, you know?
Right.
It's documented fact lining up with a kid's seemingly impossible memories.
It makes you think, what is memory really?
Exactly. Like, could there be a mechanism for memories to carry over from one life to another?
It's almost like suggesting this continuous thread of consciousness. You know?
Yeah, it's like a through line.
From that 13th century monk.
To a kid in Ohio.
His experiences, his truth, his final words. Somehow, it all ends up in this little boy's mind centuries later.
Across continents.
Yeah. It's a radical notion, isn't it?
It really is.
And what about those memories stopping so abruptly at age 7?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Is it just, you know, childhood memories fading? Or could there be something else going on?
Some other process we don't understand.
Like maybe these echoes from the past, they naturally recede at some point.
It's like we get a glimpse through a keyhole, then the door slams shut.
It's frustrating. But I guess that's part of what makes this so compelling.
Yeah, it keeps us coming back for more. Trying to figure it out.
The Jonathan case, it's a blend of the ordinary and totally bizarre. It definitely sticks with you.
It does, and it leaves us with a big question.
Okay, hit me with it.
What if even just one case like this is legit?
If there really is a connection to a past life.
What does that mean for everything else?
Wow.
Memory, identity, the very nature of consciousness.
Wow.
It's a mystery that keeps unfolding, you know?
It really does. It makes you think.
It does.
And that's what we're here for, right?
Yeah.
To explore these mysteries, to delve into the unknown.
Absolutely. To keep asking those questions.
Even if the answers are elusive.
Even if they always will be.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time for another journey into the mysteries of the unexplained.
Until then, keep wondering.
And keep listening.
Always keep listening.